So today is Father's Day, and I know that as a father, I tend to be a bit ADD, and so we're going to preach for 15 minutes this morning, 15-minute sermon. Are you ready? You can synchronize your watches. I had a timer that I was going to bring, but I left it with the music stand. So I'm going to just set my watch right here. Somebody give me an alert if I go past 15 minutes, unless it's like really, really good. I'll just sit right here, because if I move around too much, the fan will hit the mic, and we'll get going there. In fact, just to start off the official time, I'm going to say it's 12:04, but we won't count this prayer time, 12:04. What time is it right now? 9:04. I'm looking at my big hand, and it goes, I need like a digital clock or something. I don't know. Let's pray, and we'll start it. We'll say it starts at 12:05. 9:05. Right, 5 past the big hand, 5 past the 12. We'll say that. We'll say that's when it starts. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are here and that you love us, and God, that you fill us with hope and purpose, and God, you give us a reason to live, and you make it possible for us to live forever and be forgiven. And God, please don't ever let us be people that are ashamed of you. But God, let us be people that are bold. Let us be people that are just with the flag at the top of the pole, saying that we know you and we follow you, and that we will be a group of people who really are used by you to actually change this world. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here it goes. Now, we've been in a series on the mission, talking about the mission that Christ sends these 12 guys out on. And Mary, we've been talking kind of a lot about excuses. And if you remember the first week, we talked about your availability is a lot more important than your actual ability, because I hadn't found the spot yet. I'm going to find the spot. I'm going to get it anywhere. Is that okay, that little bit of wind? Is that all right? Let me know. Oh, you don't hear it? Okay, good deal. Okay, remember the first week we talked about your availability is more important than your ability, because if God can use guys like Peter, James, John, and Thaddeus, then he can use guys like Joe and Lewis and Mike and David and Alex and Sasha. You know, he can use anybody, right? And so all he's looking for is someone that's available that says, yeah, whatever you ask me to do, that I'll do. And then we talked about how the world will be changed by people who do something, not by people who make excuses for not doing something, when ultimately the real excuse is just that we don't want to most of the time. And then last week we talked a lot about how the world is going to be changed not by people that are willing to pay the price, by people that say, you know what, even though there's a high cost to this, I'm willing to step up, I'm willing to pay the price, and whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I'm willing to go for it and pay that price in order to see the world changed. And that's true. Remember last week we talked about how that's really true of anything worthwhile in our life. When we look back on it, we see that there was a price that had to be paid, but usually it was worth it. And we think, man, that, you know, it was, if you've gotten your college degree, you said, man, that was tough. I hated school, some of it. And you did all these silly tests and you did all this stuff. And you thought, man, it's just so much work, working 2 jobs or 3 jobs and trying to make it through. But now you look back and go, boy, I'm sure am glad I did that. Or if you have started a business and you have a great business going, it's a lot of work and it's still a lot of work. But you look back on it, you say, you know what, I paid the price and now we have a successful business and things are going well here. Or if it's your marriage and you say, you know, in order to have a healthy marriage, I had to die to myself. I had to put my husband or my wife first and put their needs ahead of mine. And you look back and go, wow, that was worth the price. Or people don't have good kids that grow up to be productive adults by accident. And so maybe your kids are older, and if you look back, you say, you know what, my kids have turned out all right, and it was because I paid the price, and I sacrificed, and I set a good example for them, then you realize that it's worth it. And what we're talking about today, I'm not really good at, honestly. We're talking about long-range kind of planning. You know, I mean, you have a retirement account. You have a retirement account, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you have a retirement account, what you do is you have to set aside, just say, you know what, I'm going to take 10% or 5% or whatever it is of everything that I make, I'm going to set that aside, and I'm not going to go buy the Monster Energy drink, the $3 deal at the Little Champ. I'm not going to go through the drive-thru this time, but I'm going to deny myself something now so that I can have something better later, more and better later. And that's what that whole thing is it's getting that long-term and long-range thing in view and keeping it there. That's really why we don't do what we know we want to do. What we know we need to do is because we're not willing to pay the price, and the short-term benefits are easy either for doing what's wrong or they're too high for doing what's right. So we do what is wrong or what is easy instead of doing what's right and difficult. In the future, we end up paying the price, don't we? And that's what I would really have to say. I mean, most of us really, honestly, I mean, come on now. If you were to think about the things that you regret, whether it was a spring break deal, whether it was some relationship, whether it was the biggest mistake in your life, the things that you want to be able to tell your kids, hey, don't do this, but you're embarrassed to tell them that you did this, and the things you really regret. Honestly, if we look back on them, what happened was you were at a point of decision, and if you'd have really thought about the future, you would have said, this isn't the wise thing to do. When I look 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, if I continue to make decisions like this, it's not going to take me where I want to go. It's not going to get me where I want to be. And there are going to be ramifications and consequences for this. That's why kids, so many times as teenagers, I think, do just stupid things. Because you only have like 18 years or 16 years or 15 years of life to look at. And you don't know what the consequences could really be. You don't have that same frame of mind. And so when you're looking at it, the most important thing to you is the next 5 minutes, the next 2 days, the rest of this school year. All I care about is that everything works out good for the next hour or so, that I have a great time this weekend, and that's all we're thinking about, and we don't think about the consequences. Or we think the consequences or down the road is going to be different than what it really is. I have a friend that did this. He just got out of jail around Christmas time last year. He was taking money. I gave him some money to invest, and he was doing this investment thing, and what he was doing was he was taking the money, people's money he was getting, and he was paying other people back. He was taking, like if I gave him money, he took my money and paid another guy that invested. It was called a pyramid scheme. And he was telling us he was doing this day trade, and he was telling us he had this system worked out, and he was making all this money, but he wasn't. And the whole time he was doing it, I talked to him. He said, man, I just thought it was going to work out. I thought eventually I'd get the whole thing figured out. But before he got it figured out, he wasn't being up front and telling people, hey, I'm losing money. He was stealing from people, and he was going to like Chicago Cubs games and doing really good stuff, living high on the hog, living like he'd already made a lot of money. But he convinced himself that the future was going to be different than it really was, and he was only living for the moment, and he wasn't thinking about the future. And as a result, he spent about 4 years away from his family in jail. And that's where you could end up, not necessarily in jail, hopefully, but what we've done most of the time is when we forget about the future and we do what's easy and not instead of what's right, later on down the road, we look back and we go, wow, I really wish I'd have made a different decision. I wish I had thought about the future. And that's what we want to do. And I want you to telescope even further into the future. So think about the decisions you're making. And I want you to telescope even further into the future than just a few years. But let's think about this real quick. 100 years from now, 100 years from today, what's going to really matter to you? Is it the boat? Is it the job? I think there are going to be two things that matter to you. Number one, the most important thing that's going to matter to you is whether or not you knew Jesus Christ. Because if you know Jesus, you get to spend eternity in heaven. 100 years from now, you'll be in heaven. Everything's going to be great. Number two, it's the relationships. It's the people you love. It's the people you care about. Did I tell my friends about Jesus? Did I live out the example in front of my family? Did I show people how they could get to know God? And that's what really Jesus has sent these 12 guys out on the mission to do just that. And that's why he has put us here to do just that, to tell this community, to tell this world how great he is. So look with me at Matthew chapter 10. All right, we're doing great. Matthew chapter 10. And as we have been going verse by verse through this book, this morning we come to verse 27. And where Jesus is here going is what he's telling us is, just as we have just said, the immediate result is not the final result. He just told these guys. He said, you know what, I'm going to send you out. You're going to go proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted by religious people. You're going to be persecuted by the government. People are going to say that you are associated with Beelzebub. Your own family is going to turn against you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be a price to be paid. There is great risk involved in this mission. It is not some little safe thing. Church and Christianity is never intended to be some little safe thing where gentle people get together and huddle up and don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, and just kind of be goody-two-shoes. But it's to be people that go out and make change in the world. And when you go out and you confront sin and you are salt and light and you change the world, there's going to be opposition to that. And here's what Jesus says to these guys. He says in verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. What he's telling them is, listen, this stuff that I'm telling you, I'm not telling it to you just so you can memorize a verse, just so you can know more. Now, I did put a scripture memory card in your bulletin for you today. That's for you to take. I want you to hide God's word in your heart. To stick that somewhere in your car, stick it on your mirror, but memorize this verse. It'll help you live with the end in mind. It'll help you do what we're talking about today and remember that the immediate result is not the final result for all the decisions that you make. But if all you ever do is remember that and you don't do anything with it and you don't share it with anybody, man, you're missing the whole point. You know, you ever heard of the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea, you know why it's dead? Because all this fresh, clean water will flow down into it from the mountains and it'll all come in, but it has no outlet. There's no way for that water to get out. And so it just sits there and it gets super salty and it's just, there's hardly anything can live in it. Same thing, so you ever seen a mud puddle? There you go, okay, good. We've seen a mud puddle, right? And when it's like a really nasty, hot day and it's a really deep, thick mud puddle. You ever been in one of those? You ever stepped in one of those? It's just got the steam, oh, it's just nasty, isn't it? And it's dead. And you know why it's like that? Because the water's not flowing through it. It's just stagnant. That's what a lot of people sitting in churches today are. They're stagnant. They hear the truth, hear the truth, hear the truth, and they never share the truth. They're just taking it in. They're not giving away. Don't be like that. That's what Jesus said. He says, the things that I'm telling you are not for you to keep to yourself, but to proclaim from the housetops. And that day, the housetops were flat, and they would stand on the housetop to announce, hey, we're getting married. Hey, we're having a party. Hey, there's a big circus coming to town, whatever it was. But that was a place they did a lot of things. They hung out on the housetops, but it was a public place where they publicly declared what they wanted everyone to know. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Got 7 minutes. You ready? Here we go. Look at verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. So not only share it with everybody, but keep life in a proper, in the right perspective. Keep it in the right perspective. Here's what he says. Well, that made it faster. There we go. Here's what he says. He says, don't be afraid of people that can only do temporary stuff to you. See, if you're in high school and you're standing up for what's right and some people make fun of you and they reject you, understand this. The immediate result is not the final result. You will stand before God one day. He's the one that created you. He determines your destiny. That's what he says there. The one that he says that you're supposed to fear, have this reverential awe for, is the one who can kill, what does he say, destroy both the soul and the body in hell. That's not the devil. That's God. That's the one that designed you, that created you, that made it possible for you to be forgiven. He is the one that is the judge. He is the one that decides who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. And he decides that, he says, based on the fact of who receives his son goes to heaven. Who rejects his son goes to hell. Do not fear those that can kill the body but can't kill the soul. And that changes everything. That changes your whole perspective. That boss that wants to keep you quiet, that person that maybe is oppressing you right now, if you stand up to them, it may get worse right now, but if you stand up for what's right, ultimately, one day, I think you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Live to please God, not to please people. That's what he's saying here. Look up for the next verse. He says, fear him. He says, because you know why you can do that? You can be bold. You can be brave. You can take a risk because God cares about you. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Man, two sparrows. They were sold for a farthing. In fact, Luke tells us that you get two for one farthing or five for two farthings. They were so cheap. But God says, I am intricately involved in the life and death of even these little sparrows. Do not fear, he says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of you has to count more than others. But he knows the details of your life. And it's not even that he counts. He knows this about you and he cares about you. He says in verse 31, do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Look at verse 32. Here's your memory verse. Therefore, the end matters. Live with this end in mind. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. See, and what he's saying here is that it's characteristic of Christians to be identified with Christ. There's no such thing as a secret saint. If nobody in your life knows you're a Christian, I'm telling you, you're probably not a Christian. You've probably really never surrendered your heart to Christ. Because Christians are easy to identify. They're people that love Jesus, and they tell people about him. And they love people, and they love God, and they go out and they try to change the world. Now, here it is. Imagine this. Oh, man, I got 2 whole minutes. Imagine this. Imagine if you lived life with the end in mind. So when that business deal comes up, or you have the opportunity to invite someone to church, And you're sitting there and you get this lump in your throat and you're thinking, what if they reject me? What if they think I'm weird? What if they don't want to come? You know what? You need to at least give them the opportunity to say no. At least love them enough and care about them enough to say, hey, would you come somewhere where you can hear how to get to heaven? Even if you don't know how to tell them, maybe you get some tracts. There's a, we have them all over, and just start handing them out and inviting people. Say, hey, this tells you about who Christ is, and here's how you can know him. He changed my life. But imagine if you live life where you weren't afraid of people, you weren't afraid of immediate consequences, but you lived with the end in mind, and you made the decisions now, and this is for your marriage and your kids and everything. If you made the decisions now, they're going to help them become great people later. If you invest in your marriage now so that later on you can have a great relationship, would that change your life any? Would it help you at all to live with the end in mind, do you think? Okay, good. Then that's it. Now here's the ultimate end. Your ultimate end, one out of every one people, they say, dies. It's true. Everybody dies, right? So everybody's going to be dead one day. We're all going to stand before God. The people that have identified with Christ, that have surrendered their hearts to him, will get to go to heaven. The people that haven't won't. Have you? Do you know Christ? Have you given him your heart? I did when I was 19 years old. I said, Lord, I surrender. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I want to place my faith in you. I'm trusting you and you alone to get me to heaven. Not anything I've done in the past, not any baptism, any church attendance. I'm trusting you. If you've never done that, I beg you, do that today. Please talk to me in just a moment. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to study your word this morning. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're here. God, I thank you that you make it possible that anyone here that gives their heart to you can know you and can be forgiven. I thank you that anybody that works here, anybody that lives around here that will come to you in repentance and faith can be forgiven and have their life changed. And Lord, for those of us that know you, God, I pray that we will proclaim it from the housetops, that we won't be quiet Christians, that we won't be secret Christians, but God, that we will show this world what a difference you've made in our life and that you will work through us to make a difference in this world. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's okay. You're a man. You get so you get in on it here. Now here's what I'm gonna give you some stuff here. Get free stuff just for showing up. Here you go, guys. Okay. There's this for you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Man's Day. Now here's what I'm giving these guys. I'm giving these books, 12 Ordinary Men. We've got some extras. If you didn't get your dad a Father's Day gift, see me. I'll hook you up. But guys, listen, guys. I want to get where I can see you guys because I wanted to tell you something. Listen. This is a book about 12 ordinary men. It's just the 12 disciples. They're guys just like you and me. And God used them to turn the world upside down. And I think God can use you guys to turn the world upside down. See, God expects men to be leaders in their home, to be leaders in the church. You guys, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders. So read this book. Spend some time reading God's Word. That's why I put a Bible reading plan in here. Because, guys, if you don't spend time in the Word, you're not going to know who God is. You're not going to be able to lead your family. And then maybe if you don't know him yet, this tells you just about who he is. And if you do know him, I mean, read this, but then I challenge you. Share this with somebody. Be bold and find somebody that you can tell, hey, listen, this is about Christ, and he'll change your life. But do that this week. But you guys are so important. I tell you, the future, your kids, this church, hinges on whether or not you're going to step up and be spiritual leaders. And I challenge you to do that on Father's Day today. Whether you're a dad or not, future generations of people are looking to you for leadership. Now let's lead spiritually, okay? Let me pray for you guys real quick. Lord, I thank you for these men. God, I pray they will be men after your own heart. Lord, I pray that they will surrender fully to you and that you will use them to change the world. God, I pray they will be spiritual leaders in their homes. Lord, I pray they'll be spiritual leaders in this church. Lord, I pray that they will be spiritual leaders wherever they go. God, I pray, God, that they will be men of your word, men that know you, men that share how great you are. God, I pray that you will use this group of men to change this world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the perfect Heavenly Father. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.